Welcome to the In the Limelight podcast. I'm your host, Clarissa Burt, and every week I bring you great information from fabulous people that I get to meet all over the world. I interview public figures, influencers, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, millionaires, and moguls that share their know-how, tipping points, pivotal moments, and life lessons. I promise you educative, empowering, and entertaining conversations with entrepreneurs that have a social conscience. Don't forget to find me on social. You can find me pretty much everywhere. Facebook, it's Clarissa Burt Official. Also, sign up for my newsletter at clarissaburt.com. That way you can keep abreast of the In the Limelight media as it's coming out. And you'll be getting my weekly newsletter along with the In the Limelight magazine every quarter. Check out inthelimelightmedia.com. Well, what do you know, everybody? It's Clarissa here, and we are back in the limelight yet again, this week with another phenomenal entrepreneur. But before we get to that, I do want to remind you that you can go over to clarissaburt.com, where all of In the Limelight Media lives. We are now on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and Inspired News Radio with the podcasts, obviously. And then the video is on Roku, Chromecast, Apple TV, Android TV, Amazon Fire, YouTube. I have to read it because I just don't have the memory to remember it all. Don't forget also the digital magazine. So In the Limelight, intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. By the time you see this, we'll probably have Pagani on our cover. He's a supercar maker out of Italy. He makes about 30 cars a year and they start at about $3 million a car. So a good friend of mine, and he is going to be on the cover of our October issue. So with that having been said, I'm going to bring on our next superstar. His name is Ethan Slotkin, and there he is, Ethan. Thanks. Out in Santa Monica.
Yes, it doesn't look so sunny in here, but I am in Santa Monica officially. That is true.
I'm sure it's sunny outside and you're right there at the beach. So life can't be too tough at the moment.
Not so much.
I traded for where I am in Phoenix in the middle of the desert with triple digits. But with that having been said, you are an entrepreneur in your own right, but not only, you help others. You're a serial entrepreneur, really. And you're an award-winning business plan strategist, right? So business plans, I want to take a deeper dive on that. You're successfully have tested and launched multiple businesses across all industries. And you have helped probably over 700 entrepreneurs, I think, in the last year and a half or so to package up their businesses, their business plans, financial models, and presentations, all while teaching them how to be stellar CEOs. I just read that off your website. It's just quicker.
Yeah, and that's what I try to do at best.
Right, exactly. So let me ask you this, and you know, the question sort of comes to mind as we're going through, you know, these last 6-7 months of 2020, and business plans. And I asked you before: are the best laid plans business plans, and are business plans the best laid plans? When we've got stuff like COVID and riots and politics and all kinds of things going on.
I mean, it's certainly a bit of an unusual time right now in the scheme of things. It's a bit of an anomaly in terms of that mash of things that's coming together at one time. Right? But you know, on the same token, if it's not that, right, it's something. It's always something that comes up, right, whether it's internal to your business, an external shock, whatever it is. So obviously this one's big, and we have to have respect for the fact that this one's bigger than ever, needless to say. I mean, it's several things on top, you know, right. But even when constructing your business in a start, whatever the business is, right, it has to have buffer room in there, because the only thing we know is I'm sure you know as an entrepreneur as well, is things are not going to go exactly according to the plan. That's the only thing.
Never a straight line. There's never a straight line.
No. And so there's volatility that naturally exists, which is why when you're building out your financial and the financial model and approach of your business, there has to be buffer in there to account for the volatility. You don't even need to know exactly what it is, right? You just know that things are going to come up.
Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen. So with your ear to the ground right now, and you're working with, I'm assuming, solopreneurs and entrepreneurs, helping them build their businesses and whatever, all the other lovely things that you do for entrepreneurs and solopreneurs. I'm assuming you're working with people that are what is it that is their greatest fear or worry in the moment?
It's interesting is the trajectory, I would say, right? So if you go back to like March, April, right, there was definitely some worry that was going on, right? I mean, people were being forced, quote unquote, forced, right, into or pressurized into creating a diamond out of their business, right? And that meant in a lot of cases, forced migration to digital and e-commerce where it wasn't maybe present in the past. We've even seen big brands have this problem. Large consumer packaged good companies were not far enough along in figuring out e-commerce, direct to consumer, things like that. And so this created pressure to be able to do that. There's, you know, there's a reason why we still can't receive wipes in, you know, at our home. So they just quite haven't cracked that. In the beginning, it was more about this kind of pressurization that existed. Will my business survive? That kind of thing. I think as things have gone on, people have realize that this is a bit more of the norm and that it's necessary that they're going to have to evolve or create something new. Mm-hmm. As a result of that, like trajectory wise, I'd say since July, for me at least, you know, the kinds of ideas and things that I'm seeing are purely cognizant of this quote unquote new world and representative of this new world and the fact that there's going to be some persistent behavior that exists. So for instance, I'm seeing certainly a lot of products that are cognizant of that, things in the sanitary space and things in the wellness space, as you might imagine, but also a lot of digital things that exist and not just kind of like the tech things that we've always seen in the past that kind of make sense, but things that are very reflective of what's going on right now. So it's been an interesting evolution, I would say.
Yeah, it really has. And I was watching this morning on, you know, just how people are, companies are trying to keep up and, you know, with one another, I guess. And so Amazon obviously is like $1 trillion, you know, business. And now Walmart's going down that same path with, you know, the Walmart's kind of be like a Walmart Prime. So Walmart now is moving out of just your delivery groceries or grocery deliveries, what it used to be. And now it's going to be going down straight and, you know, across the board. And they've cut it like $20. So Prime, Amazon Prime's $119. You're going to get, you know, Walmart now and all of its glory for $99 a year instead. So it's really been very interesting to see how things are keeping, you know, trying to keep up one with the other. But when it comes to a lot of the shifting that's taken place recently, we've seen a lot of people, you know, that really there's no more office or they, you know, they even were, you know, fired or, you know, let go of their jobs. We've seen a lot of people go into, of course, a creation and, you know, a lot of stuff online, digital creation, you know, sort of going down another whole path. Zoom is now the new norm. I mean, you know, I've been doing it for years, right? You know, this is the way I've been kind of doing my business for a very long time. Now everybody's doing it. So it's really interesting to see. What do you think the projections are? Let's say in the next year, year and a half, where do you see everybody kind of moving toward?
I mean, even if you go back to like 2008, right, when the recession hit, what you had as a result of it was a generation, more millennials, I would say, at that point. Were tarnished as a result of like traditional jobs, right? So historically, there was at least some allegiance that existed as it related to corporations and business. Recession hits, a lot of people laid off. Now, all of a sudden, millennials, particularly in that time, were, you know, quote unquote, jaded. More entrepreneurs and solopreneurs are coming on. And then you have the rise of the digital, you know, the digital economy that exists, freelancing economy, and people have the capacity to create their own things. You know, for Gen Z, this is their version of that 2008 shock that I feel like is everything, let alone the fact that you kind of had two segments that were a little bit more non-corporate to begin with to some extent, chicken or egg. So I think, you know, these shocks will take, you know, there were some people that were going to be entrepreneurs regardless or solopreneurs regardless, right? Like that was just the fact. But it's not going to take a lot of that middle segment who were kind of thinking about it and maybe got laid off or furloughed or whatever it is. And now they just delve in. And I think once they see that it's safe, i.e. they're making some money and they're on their pathway, I think many of those people probably won't go back at that point. So this kind of interwoven, you know, digital economy that exists is definitely on the continued rise, I think.
Right. I just got off of an interview with the guy that started up Hard Rock Cafe. And he's just partnered with another guy who's a musician. And they're starting this whole new, you know, bar, if you will, foodie genre, whereby, you know, there's food and there's music. Music obviously changes all the time. And at the end of the day or at the end of the night, if you weren't able to make it, you could, you know, download the concert that happened right then and there onto your iPhone and off or your smartphone and off you go. So, you know, there, and I said to them, I asked them the same question. Are you guys like right now in the middle of this, you know, what's going on? This is a time to start a business or is this time to not start a business? And obviously, you know, it's the risk takers that, you know, are, you know, the ones that I think over time in history, we've always seen that, you know, the risk takers and the ones that really just don't live in fear that are the ones that usually hit it right, you know, the bullseye right in the middle. I know you wanted to go down, you wanted to talk a little about, you know, college, recent college grads and, you know, the difficulties that they might be facing right now and how demoralized they might be.
Yeah, I mean, I think one way to frame that up, right, is businesses, you know, use, I mean, even the start of this discussion, right? Like multi-channels is crucial for your business, right? You need to be able to hit every channel possible. The reason is people don't know about your business or your brand. You don't get exposure. If there's no exposure, people can't even know to buy to begin with or be attached to it, right?
Many
of those channels that exist, especially emerging channels, are only known by these younger demographics, as an example, right? Like, you know, how many people who are in, you know, Gen X plus know anything about TikTok? And those are the people who are at
the
leadership.
That's what I was watching, waiting for you, by the way.
There you go.
I'm TikToking, waiting for you.
Yeah. I, by the way, I'm talking about it as if I'm exactly an expert in it. Like, you know,
I love it. That's what I go to sleep to every night. It's TikTok. Right, and I've been doing that, a year and a half. I've been doing that.
Oh,
and
nice.
And it's funny because I'm not, you know, I'm a 61-year-old woman. I'm the last person you'd think. And now I've got my mother who's 80 turned on to it. So, you know, you just never know. I mean, a great idea is just a great idea. You know?
You're correct. And, you know, but I think these businesses, many of which are led by people maybe in 40s, 50s, 60s plus, right, which is pretty common, they need this expertise, right? Like brands need this kind of expertise. The people who are best suited to be able to give this expertise and know these products in and out are younger people at the end of the day, right? So number one, know that you may actually have some of the best experience on the market as it relates to certain things, right? Two, we do have this digital economy that exists, which frankly, when I was in school, did not exist, even a fraction of this level, and that's being generous. So there's this digital economy that exists. So I think the challenge that I would give is, okay, for the people who are going to be entrepreneurs anyway, you're just going to be an entrepreneur. But for those other like middle people who are kind of in between or feel a little bit, you know, nervous or uncomfortable, I challenge the standard path here, to be honest with you. I know historically the standard path looks like corporate, but on the same token, you know, a lot of people are not going to traditional university paths and they're taking other university paths. There's other ways that exist now, and those pathways are perfectly, perfectly excellent, especially being young too. You can afford to try, right? Like, you know, the opportunity cost of your time is, and what you're giving up in salary in this case is not as high as it would be theoretically later on. So you can take these chances and learn and get that really hands-on knowledge and try to solve for yourself. Use these platforms to be able to create your business. It's a pretty awesome time right now. So I know it may not feel like the intended path, but it might be a better one.
You know what? There are an awful lot of really great networking groups online too. That'll be really great support. Yeah. That, you know, save time, save money, and quite frankly, you know, we all know that so how are you dressed from here down? I mean, it's just it becomes so comfortable to be able to work this way and to learn this way.
Are you talking about networking groups? Or are you talking about Reddit in this case, where they can go on forums and literally probably connect
that
with business partners?
That too. I don't have time for that sort of thing. But you know, a lot of people now are. I've created my own mastermind. You know, I've had many in the past, but I created a new one now because I see, you know, especially in it with my contributors to the magazine and the people that I'm interviewing every day. You know, the solopreneurs and the entrepreneurs that are, there's a little bit of floundering going on, a little bit of, oh no, I mean, you know, a little bit of the instability, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say. And so I think that there really is, there's comfort in numbers. And not only, but there's great exchange of fabulous information and resources, and everybody gets pumped up and jazzed at the end of the call. And I think that really does help. It's like a rah-rah session, if you will, or at least that's what I like to call it. And that's how I would like to help them. So again, the greatest challenge is that the college grads are facing would be what then? Just kind of, is it picking, choosing, not going down a corporate path, maybe just deciding to veer off into an entrepreneurial endeavor or what?
I mean, the way that it's said sometimes to college students, I think somebody mentioned this to me once, is pick what it is you enjoy doing and then figure out how to make money from it, right? To be able to be an entrepreneur, putting aside like the mentality stuff, which is all crucial too, to be able to find an idea that's good, all you need to do is determine and find problems, right? When there's a problem that exists potentially in your life, that problem may need solving. So you go, you take that problem, you verify that there are other people that have the same problem as you, figure out what solutions exist and why they don't serve, and then you're on your way to a business at that point. When there are problems that exist, there's a solution that exists, and usually people are willing to pay for solutions at the end of the day, depending upon what they are. So it doesn't take too much to be able to generate the seed of a business and then actually develop. So I would actually say your point on mindset and being an entrepreneur, being lonely, of course, and feeling like you're isolated, those are challenges that could exist. But You know, there's a lot of opportunity otherwise.
I think there's a lot of opportunity for freelancers also. You know, the Upworks, the Fivers, and there's no, look, I don't remember when Fiverr was ever $5, by the way. I mean, it's all, you know, there's some nice money to be made over there, right? I mean, have you ever done a $5 gig on Fiverr? I've never seen one. But
I've never done it. I've hired for it, but I've never done it.
No, that's what I mean. I've hired from it too, and I've never seen anything go by as $5, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's really, really nice money to be made that way too. And again, as I said at the beginning, Udemy is, and Coursera and, you know, Thinkific, they're all just, you know, they're exploding through the roof. I mean, they can't keep up with all the different courses that, you know, that are coming on board. So, you know, I just, you know, I'd say, you know, package it all up. It's not that difficult to do. There's all kinds of courses about how to create courses.
Yeah.
And that could be something that could be, you know, kind of be really sustainable and get you through it until something else, you know, either clicks or happens or, you know, whatever. What about LinkedIn? You have any thoughts about finding work or jobs there?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a perfectly good channel as well, right? These are people who usually have disposable income and who need help in certain things. And I think if you can be specific about what skill you offer to them and what the benefit would be, you can just use some kind of contact strategy to be able to blast people on there. And, you know, some percentage will be interested and you'll be able to convert. So I think foundationally, like you're saying, you can go, I know people who have gone onto YouTube, watched videos on YouTube to study a skill, and then all of a sudden they have a business that's based on that one niche skill, whatever it is. So you can take that, go onto LinkedIn, blast out, use that as a free channel to be able to potentially contact people. And you're on your way to a business at that point. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. YouTube is a whole other animal. I mean, it takes a little bit to learn. It's not one of the 1, 2, 3, you know, especially the TubeBuddy thing. It's like, oh my God, I got to figure all that out too. So what are your top 3 tips for developing an appropriate business model for a freelancer?
I mean, I'd say, you know, first and foremost, making sure you know what you're good at specifically and also what you enjoy as well is really crucial to figure out. From there, you want to figure out what your product or your service is going to be, right? So like, how are you going to package that up in an offering? And that may be the kind of thing that getting some customer research would be useful for, right? Find people who have this problem, figure out how they want to be served and what they feel comfortable with and what that exchange is. And it's okay to be very focused in the beginning. That's totally an okay thing. And then I'd say the third is, and it's an introspective one, know your numbers and your financials really well, right? So like understand what it is you're potentially going to be making from the business revenue wise, right? Like what your pricing is going to be like and what your projections are there, but also understanding your cost side economics as well. And that includes like, what does it cost to be able to furnish and provide this service? But then also what other expenses go into your business? Push all of that together and figure out where do you want this business to go? So are you happy being a solopreneur and having, you know, practically no cost of service? The only cost of service is your time. Right. Maybe you have a little bit of tools and overhead that exist and you're on your way and happy. Or do you want to build this thing out bigger? And if so, how do you get it to a bigger point at that point? Right. So just knowing those numbers really well from the start and being introspective of what you want, I think is really
important. So let me ask you this. Do you think then that business plans are still as important as they once were for starting up businesses? Or, I mean, aren't business plans really, you know, I've always heard, I never made one, aren't they kind of one of those kind of things that, you know, you do veer off, you know, from, you veer away from, they're shifting and zigzagging and, you know, you're fixing them along the way. Are they really, I mean, today as important as they once were?
Yeah, maybe in a different way, I would say. You know, historically I had a similar thought and in reaction to that. I'd say there's a couple uses for them specifically right now. One is if you're trying to raise money and give a detailed view on your business, sometimes a deck may not be enough and you need to give more detailed context in your business. So I think that's number one. I think number two is actually going through the process of constructing the business plan will put you through the rigor to test all the assumptions in your business, much like building a financial model. So I think it's actually very, very useful for that. Mm-hmm. And then I'd say number three is in keeping it as an internal document and having something to reference in case you ever go off track. So you can look back and be like, you know, yeah, okay, here's what the plan was. Here's what the course of action was. We know we put a lot of thought and logic into it and strategy into it. Got it. We're back on task. I'd say it's good for those three reasons more than any of these.
More than anything. Where can everybody find you? I see you're on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Instagram.
Yeah, no, Instagram is where I spend more time and I try to provide tips for people on there. So you can catch me on there or make fun of some of my pictures or whatever else. That's totally okay.
I mean, that's okay. I'll have to take a look. I'll come over and take a look. And then I'll ha 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 my way through your whole feed. Alan Slotkin, it's been such a pleasure to have you on. I love all your ideas, your tips, and I know everybody else did too. So I'll see you again, everybody. You can find Alan on Instagram, but he's pretty much everywhere, straight across social. I want to thank you, Alan, for your time. Everybody, do not forget to be here next week. We're going to have another extraordinary interview, a whole bunch of stuff that you'll be learning. So stay with us here in the limelight. We'll be talking to you again next week. Bye-bye now. Thanks for watching this episode of In the Limelight TV, intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. Please consider liking, sharing, and subscribing to my channel on YouTube. And you can listen to the podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and Inspired News Radio. Go head over to InTheLimelightMedia.com to read our digital magazine, and don't forget to connect with me on social pretty much anywhere. Stay well until we meet again in the limelight.